The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
I trust God for signs and wonders in your lives today. You may not need to use your eyes to see it, but I know that God is doing wonders. The whole of last week, our women are still sharing testimonies on the people who did the 21 days fast. We're having even more mind-blowing testimonies. The unmarried people who began their fast, they fasted for 10 days. I'm hearing strange testimonies. In fact, as a testimony one shared with me on the seventh day, and said, "Ma, I don't think this thing is true. Let me just wait." The kind of testimony that came into him, I want him to share it by himself, is mind-blowing. Today, the same God will open a new book and a new chapter in your life. Let your amen. It's your own mouth you used to say. All right, we're at the big family gathering. Pastor is preaching at the Lagos Church. He had breakfast meeting with men yesterday. Awuchi was awesome. Awuchi Polytechnic was awesome. Thank you, FEM Foundation, for giving to the Lord. We're going to read the scripture. Let's read it in concert. Let's read it together. Shall we stand for the reading of the word? Want to go? And when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate, and the hour is already late. So send the crowds away, that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They don't need to go away. You give them something." Say, touch your neighbor. Say, "You give them something to eat." Are you afraid of your neighbor? Touch your neighbor again. Say, "You give them something to eat." Let's read them. They said to him, "Want to go? We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up towards heaven. He blessed the bread. He gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave them. Say with me, "I will get something from Jesus, and I will give it to my generation." Let's read on. And they all ate, everybody, and were satisfied. They picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. There were about 5,000 men who ate besides and children. Okay, for a discussion this morning, we're looking at God makes an unreasonable demand. No boundaries, no limits. God makes unreasonable demands. No boundaries, no limits. Do me a favor. Preach it to 2 people. Preach it to 2 people. Just be seated. Someone shared a story with me I'd like to share with you and gave me the permission to share it with the house. She said, I think it was a year before I left the bank. This person left, she told me this one, I can't remember, maybe about 3 years ago, thereabout. My branch rent was over and the bank was unwilling to renew it and was asking to close it. After a month, it was renewed for just 1 year. So I resigned January 9th. I want to put it where the person put it. That particular year. 29th, the person resigned January 9th. 29th, about 30 of my colleagues who had spent 10 years in the industry were sacked. By January 20th, The branch was closed on the 20th, and 29th, everybody was asked to go. not the bank, the branch. This was 2 weeks after my resignation. Fast forward to June 2019. All my colleagues were informed that they will be relieved of their duties. July. Before July, the industry had employed new staff. And those old staff were told to train the new staff. 3rd of July, they were sacked. And some of them who have worked for about 14 years were only able to get 3 months of their pay. The funniest thing is this. The funniest thing is a lot has nothing doing till now, or even plan on how to go from where they are to the next place. The question I was asking myself, what if I didn't hear from God to leave that time? What would have happened to me today? Today we're looking at God's reasonable request. No boundaries, no limits. Has God ever demanded anything from you that is unreasonable? How did you handle it? I just told you someone's story. You know, when you're telling someone else's story, it looks like them. But when you now bring the story to you, it's a different matter altogether. She stepped out on the 9th. God said, leave on the 9th. On the 29th, things began to go wrong till today. I pray over you. May you hear. May you hear. May you hear. Friends, question, has God ever asked you, have you ever received unreasonable demand from life? If you have ever received unreasonable demand, please process in your mind. You can even put it down somewhere. How did you handle it? There are several unreasonable demands that God has made on people. Several unreasonable demands. You look at terrified men. You tell them, go and make disciples of all nations. They are terrified. They're already terrified. They are afraid that their leader has left. And while they are trying to process this information, you tell them, go and make disciples of all nations. How are they going to do it? Because when you say nation, what do you mean? What he's saying is, go to people of the same culture. So God tells you, Charlie, he said, yes. He said, today I'm sending you to Fulani herdsmen. Go and make disciples of all nations. It's an unreasonable demand. Charlie, I'm sending you to some bizarre forest. It's an unreasonable demand. Very unreasonable. But the fact about it that everybody here, God is actually asking you to go and make disciples of all nations. In other words, Charlie, when you find Fulani herdsmen, turn them into students of the word. When you are done, submerge them into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How? Has God ever asked you from you something that is unreasonable? Like the one he asked Isaiah. He told Isaiah for 3 years, walk around the country naked without shoes. Unreasonable demand. So Pastor Ben came to us. You see, just imagine you see your pastor on the road. Say, Papa, where is your clothes? So the Lord told me to just move around the cities of Benin without clothes, without shoe. You see, when we talk about Isaiah, yeah, God told Isaiah to actually walk naked for 3 years. That's in Isaiah 20. Without shoe and without clothes. Has God ever asked you to do something that is, your mind is thinking about it and you say, this is nonsense? And I'm asking myself, why did he even ask Isaiah to move about naked? Something came to my mind. Each of us here, you're a template. You're a model that God is going to use to show the world how he behaves. God's unreasonable demand. Next question. So what is an unreasonable demand? Any demand that doesn't have sense. Any demand that doesn't move according to sound judgment. is unreasonable. What's an unreasonable demand? An unreasonable demand is any demand that is not accordance with practical realities or that is not guided by reason or sound judgment. One of my sons, sometimes when we talk, he said, "Mama, when I was looking at the boy, I asked myself, what was he using to think? Was it his shoulder?" He said, "Some people use their shoulders to think. Some people use their leg to think." Any demand that is made on you that when you put your brain on it, you can't find logical conclusion, you can't find answers, is an unreasonable demand. You can even ask yourself, okay, look at this thing now. Is it practical? Is this thing practical? No, let's face reality. Is this thing practical? Remove Bible. We're not talking Bible here. Let's call it what it is. Does this thing have sound judgment? Even you with all the school, even you with all the PhD, is this what you can come out with? Any demand that lacks sound judgment is called an unreasonable demand. And whenever there is an unreasonable demand, it places fear of limitation. Unreasonable demand is any demand that when you look at it, you tell yourself, I've already failed before the demand starts. Imagine they say, Mia, myself and Usain Bolt should run. They say, we're running a competition. And anybody that comes first, they'll give the person $15 billion. And then you said two of us, you saw your math guess. Not only that, you put us in both almost close to the finishing line. And then you tell me, on your math, get set, go. No need for me to run, I'm just going to sit down. Because I know that before the whistle, this guy can finish 100 meters in less than a minute. Less than 5 minutes. Before my own, I can use 10 minutes to run it. That's an unreasonable demand. Less than 10 seconds. May the Lord your God guide you today in the name of Jesus. Amen. I was thinking about so many things that has happened, and I've discovered that sometimes we do not understand how unreasonable demand works. So I want to show you some unreasonable demands, and I'm going to use Bible. The first unreasonable demand, because of time, we're not able to read it, is raise the dead, cleanse the leper, heal the sick, open blind eyes. That's in Matthew chapter 10. That's an unreasonable demand. In fact, if I was there when Jesus was giving them that instruction, I would say, excuse me, sir, do you mean people who drank Tramadol and slept? Because if the person drank Tramadol and slept and I beat him and beat him, I would put pin on his body or pour water on his body. Everybody here, raise the dead is an unreasonable demand. Heal the sick. If it is headache, it's easy. Am I talking to someone? If you want to pray for someone, the person tells you, oh, please, I have headache. It's easy. In fact, even if you don't want to pray, can God just buy paracetamol and give the person? You want to pray for the person says, I have headache. You put your hand to pray. Say, no, let me tell you what I have. My heart is enlarged. I'm going for surgery. In fact, they have told me they're about to remove my thyroid. How many of you will still have the boldness and the strength to pray? It's an unreasonable demand. There are several unreasonable demands in the Bible. Is it Moses that stood in front of the Red Sea and God tells him, what is in your hand? He says, it's a rod. He says, stretch it over the Red Sea. What is the connection between rod and Red Sea? Unreasonable demand. Is it in 1 Kings chapter 17 where the prophet was hungry and then the woman is going to make food? And he says to the woman, first of all, go and get me water to drink. And while the woman was there, he said, please, before you come, also bring food. There was no food in the land. Unreasonable demand. Unreasonable demand is where the woman says to the prophet, they're about to come and sell us into slavery. We don't have anything. The prophet said, what do you have at home? He said, just a little pot of oil. And the prophet said, lock yourself in. You and your children. It's an unreasonable demand. Most times when you look at the nature of unreasonable demand, your brain will not want to touch it. Most times when you look at the nature of unreasonable demand. Now, when I began to look at the things that God said we should do, he said, when you go, when you get to a strange land, you don't know anybody. When you just go and knock on someone's house, who is the person? What's the person's name? I don't know. Did the person send you a text message? No. Did the person, how do I even find the person? Unreasonable demand. But for the purpose of this discussion, let's look at the unreasonable demand that Jesus made on these people. But Jesus said to them, you do not need to go anywhere. you give them something to eat. I'm sure before they came to Jesus, what those guys did was that they said, "Ah, look at the time. The time is far spent. And he's still talking." That Peter, since you are the head of the team, go and tell him. Peter said, "Please, I don't want him to shout on me." John, since you are the one he loves, go and tell him. Say, "You know, sometimes they crazy. I can go and say this thing. He will find something. If he sees something bad in my body, I don't want to do that." Each of the disciples said, "Thomas, since you are the one holding his money, you know the people who hold your money, you love them. Go and tell them." So they decided to use class action on Jesus. So all the disciples, 12 of them, went to him and said, "I want to explain some things to you. Number one, we have challenges with this place. The only thing we can do for these people is to let them go." They were explaining this thing to the person who created brain. You know, a lot of times when you talk to God, you talk to him as if he's very foolish. A lot of times when we pray and try to explain the dynamics of life to God, we explain the dynamics of life to God as if God is in one village. We are in a metropolitan city. He doesn't understand the principles of time and season, that we are very, very wise. So from that, your wisdom, you begin to educate and advise God. So these guys came and said, "Ah, sir, we want to explain. This is harsh reality. This is the practical thing. Number one, this place is desolate. Number two, this is evening. Number three, the time is far spent. So I want to suggest to you, can you release these people so that they will go home?" Ladies and gentlemen, let's begin to look at what those disciples were telling Jesus. Whenever Jesus tells you to do something, he doesn't tell you to do what you can do. I want you to check your life. One of our pastors, for him to come to Benin, he entered Tipa from the north. He entered Tipa. That's how he came. I want you to check your life. Some of the things you have gotten well, you entered it by mistake. It wasn't as if you had a solid plan. Your plan failed. In fact, I came to Benin City by mistake. It was mistake. They were trying to get me off the east because my nuisance value was too much. So they said, "Let's just go to Benin City and write exams so that nobody will know that we told this professor you are prophesying, you can't pass exams." They were trying to explain to Jesus the limitations. Ladies and gentlemen, whenever God wants you to do something, he will always ask you to do what him, God, can do. And the reason why he tells you to do that is because he created you. He knows the things he put inside you when he created you. He knows the innate value that he gave you. He knows what you can do and what you cannot do. The maker, the person that made that camera, knows what the camera can do. There's a difference between 3310 and the latest Samsung smartphone. It's not the same thing. There's a difference. Now, when I was younger, there is a camera we used to use. That camera, you snap. You first of all go to the dark room with the film, and then you produce the film, you expose it before you can use it. Today, you can snap and get it immediately. So there's a difference between then and now. The person who sent you to this earth, he knows your value. The person who put you here, he knows what you can do. Have you had bad experiences? It's part of the plan. Have you been rejected before? It's part of the plan. Have you been forsaken before? Everything that has ever gone wrong in your life, including the delays. There has been a delay in you giving birth. It's part of the plan. There has been a delay in you getting married. It's part of the plan. Oh, you started so well and you calculated your life and said, "This business, 14.5 million. By the time I do this and do this and do this, everything will come together." You actually did this and did this. You did everything. Instead of it coming together, it disassociated. And then you are about to give up. May I say to someone, he knows you. He knows where you will be in the next 5 years, even before you get there. He knows where you're coming from. He knows your family does not have any pedigree. But listen to me, it's all part of the plan. I began to look at this man, and I saw three things they said to Jesus. And those are the three things that we say to Jesus all the time. The first thing is this. They said this place is desolate. Majority of us, the reason why you can't do what God is asking you to do is because of location. Limitations in location. And you say to yourself, this location is not a good place. It's not a prosperous place. I remember I was preaching in our Abuja church. And I was giving them some suggestions. They were looking at me. You know, sometimes you're talking to someone, you think the person is listening. When I finished, someone said, I have something to say. He said, Mama, this no be Benue. This be Abuja. I said, hey, it looks as if when it comes to Abuja, the law of gravity does not work again. You know, a lot of us think that the principles of life, the principles of life, the principles of the word of God can work in the city and not work in the village. I'm wondering, Ray Royal, his business is in Uromi with hundreds and hundreds of people employed by him. In fact, he said to his own son, his son-in-laws, who were working with oil and gas, he said, whatever they are paying you, come back, work with me in this village. I will pay you the same and I will pay you in dollars. The principles of life is not location limited. The principles of life is not location, is not time limited. If it is God that said it, ladies and gentlemen, it can work anywhere. It can work in America. It can work in Nigeria. It can work anywhere in the world. They say we have a challenge with the location. He says it's a desolate place. Let's look at some of the locations you have a challenge with. Some of us, your location is where you were born. Some of us, you were born in a prostitute joint. And they say because of the prostitute joint, you can't rise to the top. It's not true. Some of us, if you were not born in a prostitute joint, you don't know who your father is. So when people are talking about their father, you are so ashamed because your father and your mom have shown you four different men. And your surname has changed several times. Location is not a limitation. Location, family history, location, family curses, generation of people who have drugs and alcohol is not a limitation. The second challenge we saw, they said time is fast spent. Some of us here, you can't do the things God have asked you to do because time is against you. I'm too young. I'm too young. I'm too old. Time is against me. These things you have asked me to do, I have studied them, but it's not for people of my age. People of my age can't get it done. They were presenting several limitations from which they can't do the things that God has asked them to do. Has God told you to do anything? Are you afraid of that thing? Then get ready. You are a candidate that something will happen in your life today. Let your amen thunder.
Amen.
Age. I'm too old to marry. The time for marriage has passed. I can't marry again. My biological clock has ticked and ticked and ticked. It has destroyed. Nobody can marry me. I can't have children again. They said my hormones are not balanced. You can see that there are several limitations in the race of life. Limitations that will make you not to do the things that you are called to do. Oh my God. Nobody in my family has been able to do this. We don't have high performing people in my family. Time has passed. Forget about it. It's not for me anymore. Let my children be the ones that will get it. I can't get it again. Ladies and gentlemen, you can also rise above that. The third one I saw was resources. The first one is time. The first one is location, limitation of location. The second one is limitation of time. The third one is resources. Jesus told them to feed 5,000 people. They looked at this. The first of all said, let us count. One, two. No, we can't count this. Look at the women. Look at the children. Where are we going to start? We are already limited in our resources. Have you noticed that anything God has ever asked you to do, there's never enough resources? He understands the challenges that is going on in Africa. I want you to listen carefully. Everybody has limitation of resources, from United Nations to US to China. Everybody has limitation of resources. I don't have enough money to do the things I'm supposed to do. God understands what's going on in Africa. He understands that we are dealing with the worst kind of terrorism. He understands that. We are dealing with the worst kind of war, rage, divorce, all of that, partisan politics, unfair competition, gender issues. He knows all of this. But yet he has put you in this place for such a time as this because you are the man of the hour. You have the equipment to do the things that God has called us to do. And some of us will say, Pastor K, I feel so inferior. Whenever people gather around me, when I look at myself, I just see myself as small. I feel small. I feel that I am lower in status and I am lower in quality. I can't do the things I've been told to do. Other people say, I feel incapacitated. This thing, 5,000 people, me, feed 5,000 people. Do you know where I'm coming from? I'm coming from the backside of life. The street where I grew, there is no name. Our house address, there is no number. Is that bad? So which means I was homeless. It's not a limitation. There's nothing you can raise today that is a limitation. Low background is not a barrier for greatness, to greatness. Low barrier. Absence of resources is not a barrier to greatness. Anybody can be great. It depends on where you got the instruction from. Shout, I can be great. I can't hear you. Dangote said in another 5 years, he's going to be the largest and the biggest exporter of rice all over the world. Yes. And am I talking to someone? He's a Nigerian. He came out from this place. And he's asking himself a different kind of question. Some of us here will say, Pastor K, we have corrupt leaders. Because of the corrupt leaders, I really can be great. I really can be great because in my place of work, as long as you know the man on top, even if you don't have qualification, they will take you to the top. It's still not a barrier for greatness. Say, in my place of work, as long as you are not from the north, as long as you are not from Daura, you can't get to the top. In my place of work, all of us have excuses for which we can't break the unreasonable demand that you have been sent to do. May God give us another way of looking at life. Amen. Shout a big amen. Someone says, Nigeria is so corrupt that I can't get to the top. Someone said, we have self-serving leaders. I can't get to the top. God says, I know. And that's why I put you here. I put you here because you have all it takes to surmount all of this. If you don't have it, I won't put you here. Another person says, we have the worst kind of illiteracy in our country. People can't even read and write. God said, that's why I put you here. And the person says, oh, we have the kind of our health system is dilapidated. People are dying of sicknesses that in other places they are not dying of those. Listen, some things that are killing people in our country, I can tell you that in some places those things don't happen anymore. Some of the carelessness. And you can present this as a reason for which you can't get to the top. God said, it's not a reason. Feed them. Jesus says to 12 men, in a desert, feed these people. And they said to Jesus, "Say, Jesus, hold on. There's no hallmark in this place for us to buy anything. There's no market square. There's no Balogun market. There's no Walmart. Where are we going to get the things from? Jesus, be reasonable now. There are only 12 of us, 5,000 people. How are we going to feed them? The same question I ask you today. What's the reason for which you can't be great? You can't break the barrier and come and change the narrative in Africa. What's the reason? Present any of those reasons the disciples had them. I'm a tax collector. I'm a businessman. I can't be great. It's not true. I'm a teacher. I can't be great. It's not true. Hey! In medical science, the school where I grew, we didn't even have any lab. I want to be a scientist. It's not a reason for which everybody that God places an unreasonable demand on, there is a way. Lift your hand and say, Father, show me the way. I can't hear you. Say, Father. I can't hear you. Say, Father. Say, Father. Show me the way. Shout it again. Say it again. Say it again. Say it one more time. Just be seated. we're ending. You know, if you run an NGO anywhere, when you go for training, they say the first challenge for an NGO is limited resources. Because the giants we are fighting is much more than the resources in our hands. If you are doing wedding in Africa, there seems to be limited resources. Because if you're marrying someone from my side, it's different from if you're marrying someone from Benin. But there is much more difference. When you pay 24 naira, there is now a market list. In fact, my auntie died last month, so the children went to my mother's village to collect the list that they are going to use to announce to them that their daughter died. Yes. They called me. He said, be warming up. Oh. I said, be warming up for what? He said, this list, one of them said, this list, when I married my wife, all these things is not there. I said, what do you mean? He said, it looks as if my mother's people, they want to use it to start a supermarket. That is the list to go and say to them, your sister, no, your daughter is their daughter. 2 years ago, my auntie died. They went, they gave them the same list. 2 years before then, they went, they gave them this. I told them, no need for me to go. Any day my mom dies, anywhere. The Bible says anywhere you are is home. Because, now, it's not only in that place. Those of us, when my husband came to marry me 17 years ago, in addition to the diary, he carried a 14-seater bus. What is in that 14-seater bus? Outside his parents, that is two people, and his sister, his auntie, every other thing is yam, oil. Today, my husband still uses it to tease me. He say, your marriage, when I came to marry you, the women in your village were dancing and sharing my property. I said, I will tell my people, please, next time anybody is coming to my, let the people go. Because they brought the provision, everything, Stella Pomade, 24 women, they brought a polythene bag. They were dividing Stella Pomade one after, and I didn't know my husband was watching them. Bonvita, they brought it, they first of all put it in a newspaper. Say, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you still be quarreling. And you gave me 4. Why did they give me 5? Some of them who are taking it have it. So you can see that sometimes limitation is not a physical thing. Limitation is the way you interpret life. Let's change the narrative. What did Jesus do? Where do you go from here? I'm going to lead you to pray. If you feel there's limitations in the things that have been called to do, what should you do? What did they do? Jesus said, they said, we don't have anything. But they remember, we have 5 loaves. And how many fishes? 2. Jesus said, bring them to me. Pastor Charlie, bring them to me. Everybody say, bring them to me. Everybody say, bring them to me. Everybody say, bring them to me. They brought it to Jesus. The Bible said Jesus took it, looked up, blessed the Father. You know what he did? That limitation, he broke it. Today, I stand as a judge. We're going to pray soon. Every limitation in you, every limitation, I didn't say in your resources, today we declare it broken. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hear this as we close. Jesus, they brought it to Jesus. Thank you, my son. And he broke the limitation. Whenever you see limitation in your life, what should you do? No, you're not the one that will break it. Bring that. It's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Bring that 5 loaves talent. 5 loaves talent. Bring it to Jesus. Bring that 5 loaves family pedigree. Low family pedigree. Bring it to Jesus. Bring out certificate that has carryover. Bring them to Jesus. The limitation you see in your finances. Bring it. That 5 loaves limitation. Listen. They need.
need to solve a problem for 5,000 people. What they have can only feed 15 people. If you do the bread, one bread to three people, it can only feed 15 people. What did Jesus do? The five loaves did the work. Five loaves that is supposed to do the work for 15 people ended up doing the work for 5,000 people, removing the men and women. Today, I declare over your life and destiny, in the name of Jesus, every limitation in you, limitation, educational limitation, spiritual limitation, limitation in your finances, limitation in your experiences, limitation in physical resource, limitation in financial resource, lift your hands and say, Jesus, break the limitation. Stand on your feet, I'm done. Lift up. Everywhere there is limitation. In my life, everywhere there is limitation. In my family. Oh, they brought their limitation to God. Holy Spirit, I love you. It's not enough. Bring it to Jesus. Let him break it. Let that thing that's supposed to do the work for five people, do the work for 5,000 people. That five loaves of talent, bring it to Jesus. Oh God. Lift up your voices. Is there a limitation in your experiences? Bring it to Jesus. Is there a limitation in your body? Bring it to Jesus. Hey. Is there a limitation? Is there a limitation anywhere? I don't know where the limitation is. Lord, this thing is not enough. I bring it to you. Break the limitation, oh Lord. Break the limitation so that I can do more. I'd like you to present yourself to him. Lord, you called me for more. I'm not doing as much as I've been called to do. I ask you to break the limitation I see inside me. Oh God. Oh God, I give you praise. I give you praise. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for less. Break the limitation. Present it to Jesus. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for less. Break the limitation. The limitation I see in my life. The limitation I see. Break the limitation. In the name of Jesus, everybody look at me. Look at me. If you can't see me, look at me from the screen. A lot of times, there are many of us who should have been doing more than you are doing. But you find, I'm limited in my finances. I'm limited, I just have some kind of limitation. Now, I don't have the answer, but I can show you the principle in the Bible. They saw that they had limitation in location, limitation in time, limitation in resources. Jesus said, bring them to me. How many of us here have just five talents? Just five talents. And you have been called to influence 5,000 people. You're only influencing 15,000. The resources in your hand is not even enough for your family. Oh God, even the limitation of the Fulani herdsmen, break the limitation, oh God. There are family curses. Break the limitation. Oh God, I give you praise. I came from a family without pedigree. Break the limitation. The history of my family makes it break the limitation. Now, even if you have gotten to the top, as long as you have not started changing your world, there's still limitation. Thank God they said, I want to be the largest exporter of rice in a nation, Onyema, with 170 million people, and one man is the largest exporter. Lift your hands to God and say to him, Father, Father. Now just look at 170 million people, about 180, and one man is equivalent to 170 million people. And listen, so Christian, the Bible is talking about David being equal to 10,000 people. If he starts exporting, becomes the largest exporter of rice in the world, it means that he's equivalent to 6 billion people. One man. Lift your hands, church people. Lift your hands to God. Lord, I don't know how I'll give you to this prayer. Some of you, there are dreams you have that are yet to come to fruition. Lift your voices to God. Some of those dreams, Lord, break. What has made me not to get this dream? Break the limitation in my life. Lord, I want to influence more. I want to do much more. Not just to have food and drink. Not just to have shelter. Not just to get married. But also to cause a movement and change a narrative. I was born for that. Break the limitation in my life. Break the limitation. Because of time, I can't go into other manners of prayer. But I want you by yourself to begin to pray. And say to him, Lord, I give you myself. I ask you that every limitation that I found in my life, in this nation as a country, let it be broken. Let me be able to reach more people. Let it be broken. Let me be able to affect more people. Let me be able to change the narrative where I am. I don't just want to be statistics. I want to be a world changer. Some of us are afraid of success. Lord, break the fear. Break the fear. Break the fear caused by inferiority complex. Break the fear. Break the fear caused by inadequacy. I ask you to break every limitation I find in my life. I'm going for more. In the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, today, we present ourselves as these five loaves that were presented to you that day. Lord, with all kinds of limitation in our lives, in the name of Jesus, and as many as can thunder a big amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499. Or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.